We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Well, first things first, we know this is a sad way to start out the new year. You say, why is it sad? There's a team called the Baltimore Ravens. And they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we know any team that beats the Pittsburgh Steelers is out of God's divine will. But I did tell Pastor Todd today, no worries, because now we can root against the Baltimore Ravens with a fury. Although we were discussing who are we going to vote against here in the upcoming game, because we do not like either of the teams that are playing. So we don't know who that's going to be, but if you follow football, I'm not as fanatical about it or faithful in following it, maybe I should say, as other people, but I kind of jump in toward the end of the year, and it seems like, I shouldn't say this, but it seems like every game I end up watching, they lose, so I probably shouldn't have watched it on Saturday evening. It's my fault. Yes, it's my fault. So I got a little frustrated during the game, but after I recognized I hardly even watch it, I figured, you know, I don't even really have any need to be frustrated, but it would have been nice to have seen them pull ahead, but that didn't happen. It was a blessing to come up today and to be able to talk and spend some time with your pastor. I told him upstairs a few minutes ago in the room where the special sacred room where we always meet before the evening service. I said, you know, you are a professional pastor. Now that could seem like a, to some guys, that would be an insult. But I said, professional in a good way because you put your best foot forward and you take seriously your responsibility to feed the flock that God has given to you. And that is important. You want to be professional. But at the same time, I like it that we can go from having a spiritual conversation and jump right into a conversation about football, about bike riding, about running a racing event where they're trying to shock you with electrical probes or whatever it might be. And I enjoy that about your pastor, that we have that relationship where we can do that. I am excited about what God has called us to do in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico and looking forward to going back there in August of this coming year, Lord willing, and continuing ahead with the ministry that God has given to us and continuing to partner with your churches and other churches so that we can get the job done that God has called us to do. I got a few questions for us this evening, though. This message is really unique. Actually, I have several other messages. I told your pastor I have a series of messages I'm doing. How many of you heard me speak out of 1 Thessalonians? Raise your hand. Okay, yes, yes. I got to tell you something funny about my wife. You know you've married a good wife when she's not afraid to tell you the truth, even when it does hurt. So she said to me the other day, she goes, you know, Jeff, I just got to be honest with you. I don't really get much out of it when you speak from 1 Thessalonians. She said, in fact, that whole short cycle church planting really means nothing to me. Well, I understood what she was saying. It didn't ring her bell. So she said to me, what are you going to be speaking on when you go to the church tomorrow, because she told me this last night as I was actually helping her clean up the house. Maybe she did not choose the right time to tell me, but she did tell me this last night as I was helping clean up the house. I said, well, you know, I don't know, honey. I was thinking about, and I had wrote a series of messages, or I'm writing a series of messages on the last verse in 2 Corinthians. So as you look at 2 Corinthians 1, 2, 3, up to the end of the chapter, end of the book, the last verse in every chapter, I'm kind of writing a series of sermons on each of those verses. And I'm thinking about doing, you know, a 2 Corinthians 1, going into that. But then after I went to bed last night, I was supposed to go on a bike ride this morning, bright and early with some guys, and I had to send them a text message, you know, I'm traveling over to Newport Rich. I need to do some preparation. I just can't go out with you guys this morning. And God kind of took me in a separate direction. And part of the conversation that I had with Pastor Todd today surrounded our desire to focus, to hone our focus in more fully on discipleship when we turn to the Yucatan Peninsula. You know that we developed the new members class. Originally it ran for 14 weeks, then it ran for 12 weeks, now it's running for 9 weeks. Actually, Pastor Francisco just sent me an email. They have 8 new people are taking the new members class. Just started up here this past Sunday. So it's a blessing to see that class continue to progress. But I kind of feel like maybe some of the material or a lot of the material that we cover in the new members class is maybe stuff that is secondary. Important, but not as important as other topics. So I'm in the middle of right now of writing a new discipleship format and materials that we're going to be using in the Yucatan. Now, what is unique about these discipleship materials is they only focus in on three topics. Now, these three topics are not topics that I have picked out saying this is what the church must have, or this is what Roberto needs, or this is what Miguel needs, this is what Juan needs. This will really be a help to them. These are things as I look at my personal life and take inventory, I say, these are things that I must have. These are things that I must be doing in order to be vibrant, growing, progressing in my relationship with Jesus Christ. So we'll start with the slide presentation. Do we have the PowerPoint up here? The Nitty-Gritty. Now, when you think of Nitty-Gritty, what comes to mind? Don't be telling me that rock band that's named the Nitty-Gritty, because I am not going there. Okay, I'm not talking about that. Or the wine. I saw there's a wine. How many of you thought Nacho Libre? Huh? When he goes, let's get down to the Nitty-Gritty. No, that is not what we're talking about. This is another type of Nitty-Gritty. When we talk about the Nitty-Gritty, what does that mean? Well, if you look at the definition of Nitty-Gritty, what does it tell us about Nitty-Gritty? The heart of the matter. The basic, essential, the harsh realities. Let me ask you a question. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Has there ever been a time in your life, in my life, when we were closer to God than we are right now? See, that's the Nitty-Gritty. Let me get down to the Nitty-Gritty. Did you start out the new year making all of these resolutions? All these things that you want to change? And like so many of us, in short order, they one by one begin to fall by the way? It's interesting, in the Yucatan Peninsula, we see people that come in to the new year ready to do exercise. There's this place called Siglo 21. And they come down there and they want to walk. And I mean, they've got the new shoes, they've got the new pants, they've got the new all the new gadgets. Man, first week, they are out there with a passion. Second week, a few more. Third week, they're like selling all their stuff in garage sales. I mean, they're not even interested in exercising anymore. Can I be truthful with you? It is that way for each of us in the Christian life. Now, maybe we are at different points in our journeys, but woe to us in the church, in the Christian community, if we mislead people into thinking that it's easy to live the Christian life, that it's natural, that I jump out of bed in the morning and the first thing I say is, I'm going to pray for an hour. And then I'm going to do inductive Bible study for three. I'm going to memorize the book of Jude this morning. It doesn't come natural. Does it mean that there's not days when there's not a desire there, or seasons when the desire is not strong, or we're not growing? No. It means it's a battle. It's a struggle to have that relationship, that growing relationship with Christ. This message this evening, the Nitty-Gritty, is interesting for me because it's not focused on one passage of Scripture, or as I like to do, one verse of Scripture. It's my heart cry to God in 2015. I know that I can improve. I know there is rapid growth that I need to experience in my life, but I cannot experience it unless I include these things. What does the next slide show here? Now, today in the church, I'm not just signaling out this church, I'm talking about the church in general here or in Mexico, around the world. Nominal has become normal. We're used just to being nominal Christians. We don't pray. I had a lady, I was talking to her last Friday, picked our dog up. We came back from Guatemala. Went down and visited some friends of ours, did some ministry in Guatemala over Christmas, and came back. When we came back, picked up our dog, and I was talking to her about the same subject, the same topic. She goes, yeah, Jeff, I just feel like I don't know how to pray. She goes, can I be honest with you? I said, sure. Go ahead, Tammy. She goes, I just don't pray like I need to. I said, you know what, Tammy? I commend you for being honest enough to express exactly where you're at. But you must form a plan that helps you get out of the nominal state. Because you cannot exist in the land of prayerlessness and grow spiritually. But many Christians today are committed to just being nominal. Church has become program or calendar-driven. Now, I understand that church in the States is markedly different than it is on the mission field. It's a different culture. It's a different ambient. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having stuff on your calendar. We should be planned out. God is a God of order. We should be as well. I'm not saying it's wrong to have programs. But so oftentimes in church today, it's about what the people want. It's about giving people what they want, sometimes not what they need. And by the way, those are two different things. What we want, what we need. Jesus did not come to make us happy. He came to make us holy. And the pathway to holiness doesn't often lead through Happyville. It's difficult. Masks are becoming abundant. How many of you were surprised with Robin Williams? Now, I don't get my theology from Hollywood. I mean, I call the movie Noah, No Way. I mean, that thing didn't even, I don't even know what that thing came from. And the new one that's out now about Pharaoh, I can just about guarantee you there is hardly anything theological in there for me to get. Hollywood doesn't give me my theology. But at the same time, we live in a world that we're surrounded by the media. We're surrounded by these figures. How many of you remember him from Mork and Mindy? Huh, that's going to age us. Yeah, we remember him as a smiling guy. Did you ever think he was going to commit suicide? Did that ever enter into your mind? No. Now, we recognize somebody apart from Jesus Christ, that their life is destitute, and oftentimes it leads them, or many times without Christ, it leads them to a point where they just can't cope anymore. People putting on their mask. That's what we see today in the church. People come in, husband and wife were in the car. I mean, they were fighting like cats and dogs. That ever happened on a Sunday? They walk in the church. God bless you. How are you doing today? The pastor asked you, how are you doing? I couldn't be doing any better. And your kids are right there. By the way, I've done that in front of my kids. You've done it in front of yours. We are professional at putting on the mask. Depth has become shallow. I mean, have you ever read a book from a current author and then gone back, a Christian author, and then gone back and read a book from an author some 50 years, 60 years, 100 years ago and seen the depth oftentimes that those older writers have? I try to read three older books to every one modern book. Doesn't mean there's no modern author with passion. It just means that today, I notice in our devotion, our passion for God, there seems to be a sea between us and our forefathers. Pleasure is worshipped as God. Pleasure is worshipped as God. Pleasure is running rampant within the church. People want to be pleased. Pleasure is worshipped as God. Technology has crowded out relationships. Have you ever gone out to a restaurant and looked around everybody? Whole family on their cell phone. You know, I don't even know how old I was when I got a cell phone. I don't think I had a cell phone until I was 25. And I'm only 26 years old. But technology has crowded out relationships, not just with our family and friends, but with God. Many people are more prone to spend time on Facebook than they are to spend time on their face before God. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Marriages and children are being lost. Now, I'm not trying just to paint this negative picture. I'm trying to get down to the nitty-gritty. What's the next slide show here? Meanwhile, his perspective is galaxy removed. Now, I could take you to a ton of passages, and we might look at a few verses here together, but just follow along with me because I'm sure you know the passage. You remember the passage in Revelation where Jesus is giving his critique of the seven churches? And the church thinks they're good, and he said, man, you have no idea. You are blind and naked. So their perspective was markedly different than his perspective. It doesn't matter necessarily what others think of us. The opinion that we need to receive is not that of our fellow man. The first and primary opinion that we need is his. And as we take inventory of our life, as Jeff gets down to the nitty-gritty in 2015, it's his perspective that is important. But so often, his perspective is galaxies removed from my own perspective. Our work is far from done. We have a lot of work left to do for him. He has given us the job of taking the gospel to the end of the earth. Most of us are failing as it relates to discipling our own children. Pray tell, how are we going to get the gospel to the end of the earth if we can't even get it to our own family members? Our work is far from done. Our heart is growing colder. We talked about the love of pleasure. We talked about how pleasure has become the new God, God with a small g. And you know what the Bible says in Matthew? It says that when our heart is given to pleasures, it grows colder and colder, and it's a sign in the last days. The trumpet is about to sound. I don't know when he's coming. He did not come in 2014. He could come today. He'd come tomorrow. He's coming soon. The trumpet is about to sound. The scales are about to be balanced. You know what I noticed about older preachers? We're talking about a preacher from Ireland today. They are not afraid to preach the judgment of God. Now, it's almost like we think the judgment of God is something that was just in the Old Testament. It's not really applicable in the New Testament. But understand, Jesus came as a baby, but he ain't coming back as a baby. And understand, if you study the judgment seat of Christ, it will raise your hackles, as it should. Now, you won't lose, nor I or anyone else, according to my understanding of Scripture, we'll never lose our salvation. Amen. And we're not being judged to see if we're saved. We're being judged because we're saved. But we will be judged by our works. Now, we sing songs about how blissful heaven will be. Let me just instruct you, when you study on the judgment seat of Christ, you'll find that there will be a portion of our time in heaven where there will be some tears, where there will be some grief and some remorse as the scales are about to be balanced, where you and I will give a reckoning. The scales are about to be balanced. The nitty-gritty. So what does this mean? What is the answer then? I mean, come on, Jeff, you just kind of painted a gloom picture. I mean, I really wanted a shot in the arm of encouragement. If, you know, what am I going to do? How are we going to get ahead? How are we going to get out of this mess that we've allowed ourselves to get into? What does the next slide say? What is the answer? Here is the answer. Three things. A personal grasp on the discipline of prayer. Now, I was talking with somebody the other day about prayer, as we're working on this right now, the discipleship for a church in another part of the state here. And we're talking in a group setting. The staff guys were there, and we were all talking about it. And so the pastor asked me what my thoughts were, and I said, man, we have got to teach these new converts. I mean, Chad and Al, we got to get with these guys and teach them how to pray. I said, you know what? That's the first thing I'm going to write in that discipleship. We're not going to talk about Baptist distinctives. We're not going to talk about ecclesiology. We're not going to encourage them to read good books by other authors. We're going to teach them how to get on their knees and get on their face before God and pour out their hearts to him. One of the guys that were there said this. They go, you know what? I don't know if that's a good place to start, he said. I don't know if we should start with that. You know, we should pray for them, but that might be a little deep for them. My response probably wasn't the most kind response that I could have given. But I was a little taken back. Just said, what is that? I said, my prayers for my children are no substitute for their personal prayer life with God. And it is the same for us as growing Christians. You can't depend just on Pastor Todd or Pastor Mike or your Sunday school teacher or your life group leader to be praying for you. You must have a personal, in-depth relationship with God through prayer. Tammy spoke up in class on Sunday as we were talking, and she said in Sunday school class, because I just talked with her a day earlier about this prayer subject, she goes, but so often I just don't know where to go with my prayer life. I don't know how to start it. I don't know how to communicate. And I feel like I'm such a hypocrite because I got sin and I got blood on my hands because I didn't tell that person about Christ or didn't do what I needed to do here. And I feel like I can't come in this place. You ever feel that way? And I got all these sins. He's not going to hear me. Doesn't the Bible say if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me? Well, you know, God wants to talk with us. God wants us to confess our sins so we can walk in light with him. And you know what? Unfortunately, have you ever heard somebody say this? I really like it when he prays, when she prays. You ever heard somebody say that? And I know we can be ministered, but you know what? I'm afraid we've made prayer mystical. or maybe like it's up at this level, and only the certain spiritually elite that have this vocabulary. Oh God, who art in heaven upon thy throne, I come before thee in all thy majesty. We have to use all this flowery. No, you know what prayer is? It's me talking to God. Now, you go back to Genesis. Ken Ham says all the time we need to keep going back to Genesis. And you go back to Genesis before God gave Adam Eve. Do you know what he was doing with Adam? Fellowshipping with him. Do you know what? Now, let's just think in. Do you know what the God of creation wants to do with you and me every day? Talk to us. Do you know why we struggle like we do? Watch ye and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Ye have not because you ask not. Daniel, David, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We struggle to pray once a day. Evening, morning, noon. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We will give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word. So in 2015, as we prepare for his coming, as we work in his fields, as we impact others with truth, you know where it starts? It starts by a personal grasp on the discipline of prayer. There is nothing in my spiritual life that is harder than prayer. Did you hear me? Jeff Carney said, there is nothing that is more difficult in my spiritual life to maintain consistently than prayer. There is nothing more crucial. So what is the answer? Secondly, an intimate knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. I was telling Pastor Todd, have a good accountability partner in Mexico, Roberto Cordetta. We were talking about our favorite doctrines. Have you ever been set up in a conversation and then you shared and you felt really good about your answer and then you felt like dirt? Has that ever happened to you? Well, let me tell you how that happened to me. He says, Jeff, what's your favorite doctrine? I go, oh, I love ecclesiology, the study of the church. So I started waxing eloquent, saying all my, you know, shared about 30 seconds of knowledge, and that was it. I expounded my field of expertise. I said, what's yours, Roberto? He was quiet for a minute. He goes, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And he proceeded to tell me why. He goes, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, he said, because without him I can do nothing. I have no fruit. I have no power. I make no impact. I remember thinking, yeah, that's mine too. Yeah, I just said, I was just testing you. I got you. No, you got me. Now, maybe we are afraid of the Holy Spirit in Baptist churches because of the abuse that we've seen in the charismatic world. I don't know what our excuse is, but we have no ground biblically to pull away from the Holy Spirit. Because without him, we will not progress. We will not bear fruit. We will walk in the flesh. Turn with you in your Bibles, just this passage of Scripture in Acts on this topic of the Holy Spirit. This is a very interesting thought. Here's Jesus. He's with his disciples. They've all forsaken him. He's come back, meets them at the seashore. Peter recognizes it's Jesus, jumps in the water, swims in. Jesus has fish already prepared on the fire. He tells Peter three times, do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, restoring Peter. So here's the disciples walking around with Jesus 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus ascends 10 days later, Pentecost, Acts 2. So here's Jesus on the mount teaching. He all of a sudden ascends up to heaven. You get the story? He's ascending up to heaven. Before he ascends up to heaven, he tells them to wait. Not to go out. To wait. What was so important that they had to wait for? They had to wait for what? The Holy Spirit. You see that in Acts 1. Now, obviously, why they were waiting, I find this interesting. Why they were waiting, they were praying. 120 of them were praying. They were not only praying, they were looking at the Scripture as they chose a successor for Judas, who had committed suicide. So here's the disciples. Jesus ascends. What are they doing? They're waiting. Why did they have to wait? Why was the Holy Spirit so important? Because without the Holy Spirit, there's no power. So, you know what? I believe that we have a lot of knowledge in the church today. We have information at our fingertips. We got books. I mean, how many of you got an iPad or an electronic device here with a Bible on tonight? How many of you on an electronic device can also open up and you have commentaries or other good books on it? Oh, yeah, it's there at our fingertips. It's there. I mean, everywhere we look, there's the ability to get knowledge. You know, in the church, we have a saturation of knowledge, but I believe we have a lack of power. We do not know the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not bearing the fruits of the Spirit. What are the first three fruits of the Spirit according to Galatians? Love, joy, peace. Christians are like the ceiba tree. The ceiba tree, well, actually, they're not like the ceiba tree. The ceiba tree is a tree in Mexico. It's called the tree of life. It's very important to the Mayans. And when it's young, it has big thorns all over it. When it grows and gets older, guess what happens to those thorns? They fall off. You know what happens to Christians? The older we get, the more sour and cantankerous we become. We always can find something to complain about, and we're not joyful. You know what that shows us? We have no clue who the Holy Spirit is. Because when we know the Holy Spirit, we will know a different level of living than we've ever known before. So what is the answer in the midst of a spiritual dearth? Getting down to the nitty-gritty, a personal grasp on the discipline of prayer, an intimate knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit, then lastly, a growing passion for inductive Bible study. I was talking today, I think it was with Micah, about this subject of Bible study. Now, in Mexico, in the Latin world, the Catholic Church has told the people for so long, you can't understand the Bible. Do you know why that was? Because the Bible was written in Latin. And so they understood Latin, but the people that lived in Mexico could only speak Spanish or whatever place they were at. They could only speak maybe a Mayan language. They couldn't speak Latin. So they had to depend upon the elders, the leaders in the Catholic Church to give them the Bible. What's led to this perception today, oh, I don't have an education. I can't even know it's in my mother tongue. I can't understand the Bible. Well, you know what the Bible tells us? That each and every one of us need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. I got to be honest, I don't have a ton of goals on my list for New Year's resolution. You know what I believe is better than a bunch of goals? Devotion. And focusing on these three, the discipline of prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, and my study in God's Word. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know exactly what it is that you're struggling with. But if you at the beginning could say, yeah, I have to admit, there's a time in my life when I was closer to God than what I am now. I can tell you, based on the authority of God's Word, that the best way to move ahead is by practicing prayer, is by knowing the Holy Spirit, and is by getting into God's Word day by day. So from this day forward, here in 2015, I'm going to continue to work, I'm going to continue to write, and when I return to the Yucatan, I want to return not as somebody that's telling them what to do, somebody that's showing them, this is how you have a growing and vibrant relationship with a God who is not distant at all, a God who yearns to walk with us just like He fellowshipped with Adam in the Garden of Eden.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.